One mansion, one crew, one massive heist. Do you want in? Paddy's Mansion Heist is an online game show at Paddy Power with entertaining hosts and four live-action bonus rounds, all set within Paddy's Mansion. Bet on the different wheel segments and explore the mansion. Crack Paddy's vault and win up to 4,000 times your bet. Think you've got what it takes to beat the bookie? Play the first ever live game show made exclusively for Paddy Power. Search Paddy's Mansion Heist to join the crew. Paddy Power. Full T's and C's apply. Please play responsibly. 18+. BeGambleAware.org.
Hello and welcome along to another episode of the From the Horse's Mouth podcast, the final installment of Royal Ascot 2024. And my name is Tom Nugent, standing in for Patrick Kennelly. And we will, in due course, be in the company of Rory DeLargy and Ruby Walsh to guide us through the final card of the Royal Meeting. But before all that, a few bits of housekeeping. Paddy Power giving customers a money-back token to use on any Royal Ascot race with eight or more runners on day five of the Royal Meeting. So make sure you check out that offer on the Paddy Power app or paddypower.com. They're also giving a free bet builder for all England games in Euro 2024. By the time you're listening to this podcast, England will next be playing, of course, on Tuesday, the 25th of June at 8 p.m. against Slovenia. And if you're watching on YouTube, I'd like to remind you that the From the Horse's Mouth podcast is for life, not just for Royal Ascot. Well, we might not be on YouTube on a weekly basis. We are on podcast platforms every single week. So head on to Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your those podcasts and subscribe to get winners from the likes of Rory DeLargy and Ruby Walsh all year round. And last, but certainly not least, it's a busy week with Ascot and the Eurozone, so please do remember to gamble responsibly. All the information and tools you might need are available on safergambling.paddypower.com, so make sure you head over there to check out all that very important information on safer gambling. Gentlemen, you're welcome. The final show of this year's Royal Ascot Meeting. So let's get stuck in. Day five kicks off at 2:30 over 7 furlongs. It's the Chesham Stakes, and Bedtime Story is the current 2-1 favourite with Paddy Power at the time of recording. Age of Gold is next in at 4-1. 10-1 Pentle Bay, 16's Duke of Monroth alongside Expensive Rose and Matawage. A Seaplane is also 16-1, and it's 20-1 and bigger the rest. Rory DeLargy, I'll start with you. I like the Chesham. I'm not sure I like it in its current format, though, because the old Mecca's Angel there injecting a bit of speed into Bedtime Story at the top of the market could change things slightly.
Oh, well, that used to be the way. Anyway, it was sires who'd won at a mile and a quarter or further, and then a few years ago they brought in a rule to say if the dam qualified, then you could get in that way, and of course that you were getting speed from the sires then. And they've reverted to the old rule now, as far as I'm concerned. So that's all right. I mean, yes, it's always been the way that if you've got, particularly if you've got a Galileo, you look to get very speedy mares to produce the sexiest offspring, as it were. So Mecca's Angel, she's not produced anything quite like herself so far. I'll tell you, the first thing I thought of when I looked at the Chesham was, how have the two-year-old races panned out so far at the meeting? The most striking aspect of the two-year-old races at Royal Ascot at the time of this recording is how poorly the Irish horses have done. I think one horse in the first six from Irish stables in the first 3 two-year-old races of the meeting, which is very, you know, considering how many fancied horses there were.
Funny you said that. I was talking to Gavin Ryan as we were leaving the track here last night, and I was asking about the filly he rode in the Queen Mary for Diego Diaz, and he was with Luke McAteer. And they both commented on the ground, the fact that the Irish two-year-olds had been running on slow ground, yeah, that when they landed onto the much quicker surface here in Ascot, that they were just at sea.
Yeah,
that's what he felt. So there is a little theory that I heard yesterday as to why Rory's stat that the Irish two-year-olds are running so bad. That was the opinion of the jockeys.
Interesting.
It's certainly an interesting one. The Cheshire obviously is a different kind of race because it's over 7 furlongs. And you get a different kind of two-year-old running in it as well. So it may well be that stat has been turned in his head. We'll have the Norfolk Stakes having, you know, a completely different result. But, you know, we're looking at what we've seen so far and looking forward. So that's a little bit of a concern for me. It's a concern backing anything at a short price who's shown their form on softer ground thus far. The horse that interests me most here, and there's a little there are a couple of reasons for this, but I think it's overpriced, and a horse who will do a lot better is Motta Wahij for Carl Burke. I was keen on Carl's and the Queen Mary, who justified each way support. And Motta Wahij is an interesting one. The first horse that Carl Burke has trained, and the first horse I've seen running in the UK for the official owner, is listed as King Abdullah bin Abdulaziz Sons Stables. And this is the champion owner in Saudi Arabia. Essentially, it is Prince Miteb, one of the sons of the late King Abdullah, has increased his racing interest massively in the last couple of years. And he was far and away the most powerful stable, particularly in terms of the two-year-olds he had in Saudi last year. He picks out some expensive imports at the sales in the States as well. And this colt is very well bred, being by American Pharaoh, out of a quality road mare, and cost a lot of money going through the sales ring three times, 285,000 guineas at the Breeze Ups earlier in the year. And I thought he shaped really well when second to Catalyze. First time at Hamilton, I was told that Catalyze was Richard Fahey's best two-year-old. He was a wee bit disappointing when fancied in the Coventry early in the week. But Motta Wahij, who wasn't particularly well fancied on debut, was going off at a... he's gone off an 8-1 shot. He's shown plenty of speed there and going well to be second. On pedigree, he's going to start 7 furlongs and further. I think he'll improve a fair bit for that debut at Hamilton. And I think he'll do fairly well here.
Okay, good shout. And a nice bit of Saudi Arabian insight from Roy Delargy. It'll be useful in the pub quizzes when the Saudi Arabian round comes up. Ruby Walsh, the Chesham Stakes, with what you heard from Gavin Ryan leaving the track last night. Are you abandoning Irish two-year-olds in the Chesham?
No, I'm not going to abandon them. I was in Leopardstown when Bedtime Story won. That was on good ground. She was disabled second string. Woman of G was the favourite. Ryan was riding, which was, she was a giant of a filly by Justify.
Giselle,
yeah. But Bedtime Story was a beautiful looking filly. And I'm going to stick with her. She impressed me. She did well to pick up and go and win. And she really impressed me. So I'm going to stick with Bedtime Story and hope that by Saturday in Irish 2, I might do something.
We'll keep those fingers crossed. Right, 3:05 at Ascot Race 2 on day 5 is over a mile and a half. It's the Group 2 Hardwick Stakes, and the betting at the time recording with Paddy Power puts Continuous in as 15-8 favourite, 11-4 Middle Earth, 7-1 Desert Hero, 9s Isle of Jura, Missed the Cut is 12-1, Goliath the 16s, 20s Bar Ruby. I'll let you lead off here in the Hardwick Stakes.
Yeah, and I'm going to go with Middle Earth, who obviously was behind Continuous in the St. Ledger last year, but I'm going from Middle Earth purely on the fact that he's had two starts this year, and or one start this year, and Continuous hasn't run since Longchamp 30 Arc last year. So I'm siding with Middle Earth on a fitness edge, and other than his run in the Ledger, he's been pretty solid. He was good at York when he won the handicap under Oisin, what's that 3-0 handicap in York? It's a good race. Mile and six, Melrose. I thought he was impressive in the Melrose, and I think he's improved this year. So I'm siding with Middle Earth.
Middle Earth, very good. And Roaring Lion, of course, up and running as the Royal Ascot winning sire, Rory Delargy, this week with Running Lion on the board already. Are you inclined to give Middle Earth a vote of confidence as well?
I thought his run style might make it a wee bit tricky here, in that he can be slowly away, and as we've seen with one or two this on the Ryan course this week, you don't want to get too far behind, which is also, you could argue, a little bit of a concern with Continuous, who's the favourite. But he's never been slowly away. He's often been held up a little bit in his races, but he ran very well over. Course of distance in the King Edward II, seventh last year before improving later in the season. He's very much at home on quick ground. His arguably visually his most impressive performance was when winning the Voltigeur under a very good ride from Ryan Moore at York last season on quick ground, where he let them get racing in front of him and then swept past them, looking different class. He followed up in the St. Ledger, but dropping back this trip won't be a problem for him. My concern for him in the Ledger was whether he would be a thorough stayer at that sort of trip. But he's fine. He ran right up to his form in the arc after that. There have been some very, very good horses have been asked to go from the St. Ledger to the arc. It's a really bad prep fundamentally. You wouldn't choose it if winning the ARC was your major aim. But obviously, you know, if you got a horse who's won a classic and you've got the chance of going for the ARC, you tend to go for it. So I thought he ran very well in the context of all the horses who've tried that double in the past and finishing a 3 1/4 lengths fifth behind Ace Impact. I think he should do better again this season. I thought 15-8 was a very fair price, about it. I might add him shorter.
Okay, very good. Let's keep the ball rolling. Group 1 action, 3:45 at Ascot on day 5. It's over 6 furlongs. It's the Queen Elizabeth II Jubilee Stakes, and Keen Ross is the 4-1 joint favourite now alongside Millstream with Paddy Power. Shartash is 11-2, Believing is 6-1, 7-1, Mitbahi, 9's the Wizard of Eye, and 10-1. And bigger the remainder, Rory De Largy, the Queen Elizabeth II Jubilee Stakes. What are you thinking here?
I think it's a really interesting race, and it's set up nicely that the real pace angles are all drawn together up the middle. Art Power always tends to go prominent. Quinault is a really, really fast horse stepping up into Group 1 company here. He was my fancy for the Wokingham, but they've decided to come here instead with him. He's a horse you can do better still, but this might be a little bit of an ask, but he's got loads and loads of speed, as does Washington, the highest he's drawn in stall 10. There's different ways of looking at this. Some people will say, well, all those being drawn together could cut each other's throats and set it up for a finisher. I think that group of horses could get away. They could actually help each other get away from the others, and whichever of the four is able to sort of settle best and see the race out might be the one then to beat. I think Washington Heights is the value in the race. He looked a massively improved performer on his reappearance. Now, he ran up against Quinault last season in handicaps. They're quite closely matched. But he's definitely progressed again this season. Washington Heights, we saw that when he won the Aberdeen Stakes on his reappearance. And he went very close to following up in the Duke of York Nick time out. Again, showing lots of speed, trading odds on inside the final furlong, and just wandering in the closing stages of a true line towards the far side of the track, and getting run down just in the last 50 yards or so to finish fourth, which was a bit of a kick in the teeth for my each way bet on him that day. But c'est la vie. I think he will continue to progress through the season. Fast ground suits him ideally, and I think he is happy to make the running as he showed at Newmarket, but he was just behind the overall leader at York and travelled very sweetly. He didn't find his rider there. So I think he will be happy just tucking in behind Quinault, who's drawn next to him, and hopefully he can find a little bit extra in the finish. And the fact that he's being dragged along by some proven speed balls will help him hopefully stay straight in the closing stages as well, which obviously you want to do. And I think while he's no good thing, I think his progress hasn't leveled out yet, and I think the setup of this race gives him every chance of going close.
Yeah, and I think at the price as well, he could very easily turn the form back to the original line with Millstream, couldn't he? So it's a great value bet. So well chosen.
Exactly, he's closely matched on Millstream and the York form, but Millstream, Washington Heights, and Quinault were all running in those top 3-year-old sprint handicaps last season as well. And Washington Heights and Millstream rated out a little bit higher than Quinault through those races. I think Quinault started his winning sequence off a mark in the 50s, but has done tremendously well to get this far. And it's good to see that sort of 3-year-old form keep pushing through and bringing those horses up into Group 1 level this season.
Very good. Good vote of confidence then for Washington Heights in the Queen Elizabeth II Jubilee Stakes over 6 furlongs. Ruby Walsh, over to you.
I'm going to stick with a horse I'm not having a little bit of luck with, and that's Mitbahi. I know the pace is all in the middle of the track. He likes to be held up and come late, which Jamie Spencer does better than anybody at Ascot. But I was impressed with Mitbahi at the Curragh. Jamie did nearly give me a heart attack when he went back in looking for cover at the furlong pole. But I just think that his run style will suit the race. And I think that I'm hoping the four in the middle don't get away, that they do cut each other's throat and fall in the hole, and that Mitbahi is the one coming home. But that's the view I'm taking, and I'm going to side with Mitbahi.
Okay, Ruby Walsh going to side with Mitbahi in the Group 1 sprint over 6 furlongs of Queen Elizabeth II's Jubilee Stakes. Let's move on then. 4:25 or 7 furlongs is the Group 3 Jersey Stakes. River Tiber is the 6-4 favorite. Hatem in new colors, 3-1 next in. Eben Shaddad, 10-1, 12-1. Kikuli alongside Never So Brave, 14-1. Native American alongside Knight Raider, as well as Task Force, and at 16's bar. Ruby Walsh, what do you like in the jersey?
It's just Irish Guineas form, isn't it? Rosalian backed it up here in the James's Palace on Tuesday. Now it's River Tiber versus Hatem, and I'm going to say River Tiber. He was trying to do what only one Aidan O'Brien horse has ever done, and that's win a 2,000 guineas without a run at the Curragh. And I think he will have improved enough from his run at the Curragh to turn that form at Hatem. I thought Hatem was the horse in the Irish Guineas that was in the right place all the way and was dictating the race. I think River Tiber got tight, obviously, or tired even. Hatem couldn't hold off Rosalian, but I think River Tiber with that run under his belt will turn the form here on Saturday.
Okay, Ruby, sticking with River Tiber. Rory, are you inclined to agree? Are you looking at elsewhere?
I'm inclined to partially agree with that. I thought that obviously the three-pound difference between them for that run gives River Tiber a very good chance. Basically, they're on equal terms from the Curragh race with the turnaround, maybe River Tiber just in front of that, and you take the view that he's only had the one run this season and Hatem's had three, so River Tiber should come on again. He'll also be suited by 7 furlongs, and I don't think it's a massive problem for Hatem. But if you think this race revolves around River Tiber and Hatem, and they're very prominent in the betting, Task Force is surely the overpriced horse here, isn't he? What price do you say was 12, 14?
Task Force, 14 to 1.
14 to 1. Well, listen, he's a better horse than River Tiber on last season's form. And it's just a case of whether you think he didn't stay the trip in the Guineas, which I think is a fair point. He's got plenty of speed in his pedigree. He's bred to stay the trip. All his runs as a juvenile were at 2. He was impressive in his first 2 starts. He took a big step up in class, third time in the middle part, where he finished in front of River Tiber. He didn't quite have the know-how to throw down a challenge to Van Dijk, but I thought he shaped really well in finishing second there, just getting a better River Tiber for that position. He had wind surgery before the start of the season, and then ran okay in the Guineas, finished 7th of 11, but that form's really working out. Horses finishing back in the field have done well since. Those at the front have largely franked the form as well. I mean, you consider that we've been talking up Inish Erin as a likely winner on Friday's card. I thought Task Force, he finished a pace behind Inish Erin that day. He probably needed the run, given that he needed wind surgery before the start of the season. And, you know, the old adage about backing a horse second time after wind surgery rather than straight away, is worth bearing in mind there. And given the promise he showed it to, at 14 to 1, I could definitely be tempted. If he was put in at, you know, to put in a 5-1 or 11-2 business 2-year-old form, I would have concerns about the way he ran on the Guineas and whether his wind has been corrected. But at 14-1, I think I can take that chance because he showed such enormous promise at 2 and looked the type of horse to do a lot better from 2-3 physically, that I would give him another go here.
Here at Paddy Power, we want our gambling to be fun and encourage our customers to bet responsibly. That's why we offer a number of tools to help you stay in control, including the ability to set deposit limits, get reminders after a certain amount of time playing, and to take breaks. For more information, visit responsiblegaming.paddypower.com. 18+, begambleaware.org.
Okay, Rory De Largy, going to roll the dice with Task Force in the Jersey Stakes at 4:25. Next race at Royal Ascot is at 5:05 on day 5. It's the 6-furlong Wokingham Stakes. No extra places at the time of recording, but no doubt Paddy Power will be coming to aid punters here because it looks like there will be a maximum field of 28 going to post. Dark Trooper currently tops the betting, 9-1 the field. Al Bashir 10-1, 12-1. St. Lawrence Orazio's 14-1, 16-1 Apollo 1 alongside Rumstar, 18's on the equal Love, and it's 20-1 and bigger the rest. Rory, I'll let you pick the winner of the Wokingham, please, and thanks.
Well, this was, got slightly complicated for me because the horse that I was with Andy Post was Quinault, who runs in the Queen Elizabeth Jubilee Stakes instead. So I've had to go back to square one. My replacement selection, and taking a little bit on trust, is Orazio, who started favourite for this race last year, went off at 7-2 off a mark of 102, having won his first 2 starts of the season. Didn't really see things out on his next couple of starts. But he had excuses. He's had a couple of runs on heavy ground, which is probably a little bit too deep for him. He wasn't beaten that far in the Air Gold Cup. And then he was fancied at Newmarket last time out for a race he'd won last season and ended up finishing well beaten. But he stumbled at the start and the vet reported that he was moving poorly behind when he came back in. So I'm trying to put a line through that. The concern, obviously, is if he did finish lame there, then it's been a slightly interrupted preparation to get him on track for this. But he's dropped, he's on a mark of 100. He was fancied to justify that mark at Newmarket. He looks well handicapped on the pick of his form from last season. He was only beaten 2.5 lengths on this off a 2-pound higher mark last year. Very lightly raced. He should be better as a 5-year-old than he was at 4. And it's just a case of trusting Charlie Hills to get him back to his best. And again, backing Charlie Hills sprinters off poor runs has not been a bad angle in recent years, as Ruby sort of mentioned there with Mipahi. They do tend to disappoint a little bit and then bounce back and they can win at big prices. Orazio is not going to be a huge price here, but I thought he was well drawn at stall 22. I thought if he was back to his best, he's got as good a chance as anything in this race. And I quite like the booking of Safi Osborne as well, who I'm a big fan of. So Orazio ticks a few of the boxes and I just hope that he's had a good prep for it.
Okay, not for Orazio then in the Wokingham for Rory De Largy. Ruby Walsh, what are you thinking?
I'm going for one happy tree of Clive Cox's Ryan Moore rides. I just thought it was a jockey book and obviously they caught my eye, but when I looked into Happy Tree, he was off for nearly two years, 630 days, a little bit shy of it. He's had the one run in Salisbury at the end of May, and the fact that Clive Cox has gone to get Ryan Moore to ride him kind of stuck out to me. So not much of an angle, but that's where I ended up. Happy Tree at 25-1.
Happy Three at 25-1 for Ruby Walsh. Righto, 5:40. The penultimate race of the Royal Meeting is over 10 furlongs. It's the Golden Gates Handicap. And Hand of God is the 3-1 favourite with Paddy Power. 8-1 approval alongside Old Faithful. 10-1 Portsmouth. 12-1 Cambridge. 14-1 Arabic Legend, as well as Miletus, as well as Palace Green and Primo Lara and Treasure as well. And the 16-1 are bigger than the rest. Ruby, I'll let you kick things off in the Golden Gates.
Well, I was with Portsmouth until the draw came out. And then when he was drawn in star 3, I kind of thought, God, can't have that. To win from 3, look, we've said it all week, he really has to either commit forward to get a position or hope for a miracle. And that kind of has me worried, because if you commit forward and one or two take you on, you end up going too fast. And stall 3 was a big negative for Portsmouth, which brought me back then to approval was in 6, Hand of God out in 17. Probably end up on him, but Portsmouth was my selection, Tom. So a weak choice for Hand of God. No, I'm afraid of Portsmouth's draw.
Okay, Portsmouth, afraid of the draw, but landing on Hand of God then for Ruby Walsh. Rory De Largy, your thoughts on the Golden Gates?
Yeah, again, I tend to look at those who were drawn fairly high here. The one I thought was just a standout, really, was Hand of God, a little bit of Sandown, not a reappearance. That was his handicap debut for Mark of 88. It wasn't a particularly strong contest. He was even money favourite for it. He made all the running and won with a bit in hand. But what got me was his third run last season. He was out of the frame in his first two starts in novice company, and then ran in a maiden at Newmarket in October on quick ground, and he won really well there. It's a classic encounter and Brave Call. And he's beaten them well. Sisyphean was fourth. He won his next start. Classic Encounter and Brave Call are rated 85 and 82 now. Sisyphean's up there as well. And that an opening mark of 88 was just very lenient for Hand of God. You know, if you'd finished, there's so many horses who finish midfield in maidens and are given opening handicap marks £20 higher than what they've actually achieved. It looks like the handicap has gone in at £5 or so below what Hand of God achieved on that run at Newmarket when he won with plenty to spare from horses all rated in the 80s. So an opening mark of 88 looked very lenient. He made it look lenient when winning at Sandown on softish ground last time out without really getting to the bottom of him. And the handicapper, I thought, had a chance to correct that leniency, but he's put him up just £3. And I think he still looks thrown in. He's drawn a stall 17, and that wouldn't bother me in the slightest, particularly as the horse has gone forward in all his races. And he's in the ideal place if he wants to go forward in stall 17 as well. So with William Geary taking over from Ryan Moore, that's hardly a massive concern. And Harry Charlton's colt looks well in to me.
Okay, very good. Let's move on to the final race of Royal Ascot. It is the Queen Alexandra Stakes over 2 miles, 5.5 furlongs. And the current favourite at the time of recording at 7-2 with Paddy Power is Dawn Rising for Joseph O'Brien and William Buick. And the colours of JP McManus. Queenstown is next in at 7-2 for Aidan O'Brien. Run for Oscar, 5-1, 6-1. Pasteleo, 8-1, Trushan, alongside Uxmal, 12-1, and Bigger the Rest. And if there was a meeting of trainer and jockey I would love to listen to, it would be Charles Burns giving instructions to Maxime Guillon before this race. It could be an interesting clash of cultures there. Rory, what are you liking in the Queen Alexandra?
Well, I thought Run for Oscar was as good as anything in this race, to be perfectly honest. The bench, though, if there was some rain to arrive, and there's the prospect of some showers on Saturday, but it's all looking a lot better now than it was a few days ago. Tashkan would have a big chance on his Group 1 form in the last year or two, but all his best form has come on good to soft or softer ground. He ran a little bit of a disappointing race on the one time he raced on quick ground last year in the Ebor, and that would be a little bit off-putting for him. But obviously Brian Allison's been getting a couple of winners recently, and he would be very interesting if there was digging the ground. But On a fast surface, that wouldn't bother me at all for Run for Oscar. I'm quite amused at the idea of Charles Burns giving Maxime Guillon instructions, but I think Maxime knows his way around here fairly well. And the step up to a longer trip will surely help Run for Oscar. His last couple of runs have been at 1.75 and 1.5 miles, and stepping up to 2.5 miles here will be a big positive for him. He's a 9-year-old now, but he still retains a lot of ability, and I think he'll run very well. I'd like to see him ridden reasonably handily, and he does tend to be. He was slowly away and held up out the back at the Curragh the last time, but I think you'd expect to see him ridden a lot more forwardly in a race of this nature, and I think he's still got the class to win a Queen Alex.
Okay, very good. Ruby, what are you thinking here in the Queen Alexandra? And also, would you be up for maybe translating for Maxime and Charles if you're required later on?
Could easily do that, yeah. Hand signals usually work. Forward, back, go, stop. You know, it's not, really not that difficult. You can probably figure it out if they want to. But I like Queenstown, and I'm pretty keen on Queenstown, to tell you the truth. I'm sticking with Queenstown.
Queenstown, short and sweet for Ruby Walsh. Righto, we'll just recap on the few bits of housekeeping while the lads pick out their best bets for day 5 of the Royal Meeting. Paddy Power are giving customers a money-back token to use on any Royal Ascot race with 8 or more runners on day 5 of the Royal Meeting. They're also giving a free bet builder for all England games in Euro 2024. By the time you're listening to this, England will next be playing, of course, on Tuesday, the 25th of June at 8 p.m. against Slovenia. If you're watching this on YouTube, I'd like to remind you that the From the Horse's Mouth podcast is for life, not just for Royal Ascot. And while we might not be on YouTube on a weekly basis, we are on podcast platforms every single week. So head onto Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you download your pods and subscribe to get winners from the likes of Rory DeLargy, Ruby Walsh, and even listen to PK every week and all year round. And last but certainly not least, it's a busy week with Ascot and the Euros on, so please do remember to gamble responsibly. All the information and tools you might need are available on safergambling.paddypower.com, so make sure you head over there to check out all that info. Righto, best bets on day 5. Ruby Walsh, we'll start with you.
I go on the last, Queenstown.
Queenstown, love it. Rory?
I will go for Hand of God in the Golden Gate Stakes, the 5:40.
Lovely stuff. Gents, thank you very much. It's been a great week in your company. Thanks to everyone for listening. PK is back and on, but for now, I've been Tom Nugent, and that was another episode of the From the Horse's Mouth podcast.